Today's guest, Larry Stevenson. Larry's been playing bluegrass for a good while, and he just keeps getting better and better at it. What we're going to talk about is his new album, LSB, standing for Larry Sparks Band Live, a retrospective. It's a great concept. I don't want to give it away, but we're going to start with a cut from that song, I Should Have Called, and then Larry Stevenson and I will get to the point of telling you. Larry's a friend of mine, so we kind of wander. We have certain things that we both have in common, but this is really a great album and a great concept. To the listeners of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a great cut. I Should Have Called. It's on the brand new, just released, I think, in early July, retrospective, LSB, which is the Larry Stevenson Band Live. And I have Larry on the phone right now, one of my friends. How you doing, Larry?
I'm great, Steve. It's really good to hear your voice
and speak with you. It is. I'm telling you.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, and I feel like we should be heading to a buffet bar somewhere.
Well, I don't think there are any more buffets, so I'm not sure what we're going to do now. So.
God forbid we'd have to pick up a menu.
Yeah. Or scan the menu with our phone or something.
Yeah, I know. It's good to hear you, man. It's good to hear your voice. Good to hear this great music.
Well, thank you.
This album.
Thank you.
Yeah, buddy. I don't know how you go about, Larry. You've got so many. And this is, I want people to know it's alive. Their cuts are live. There are 15 cuts. Two of them are spoken introductions. But do I have it right at 13 musical cuts on the
album? That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's not just a recorded live concert. It's live music picked from back to 1999 up through 2020, and they're all different live cuts. So you have different personnel in the band. Everybody that knows Larry knows that he always keeps a top-notch band, and people come and go, but they're always high quality. So it's unique. I don't know that I've had an album in front of me before where there were live tunes, different makeup, you know, picked up over 20-something years and put together on a live retrospective album, which is the name of this, accordingly. But so what made you think to do this?
As far as I know, this is the first. I mean, especially for bluegrass music. The only thing I can say is, Steve, I made really good use of my quarantine time last year. and I got in my office in there, and I went through stacks and stacks and stacks, probably hundreds of CDs.
Yeah, wow.
Got rid of a bunch of stuff, and then I started running through all these live recordings of my band. You know, we would do a show somewhere, and we would leave there that night, and the show guy would give me a CD. He said, "Hey, we recorded your show tonight." And I went, "Oh, you did? I didn't know that."
You don't mind if we sell them for $5 out in the lobby?
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
And so I would throw them in my briefcase, and I'd bring them home. I'd put them on my shelf, and most of them I've never listened to. So I sat in my office for about 3 weeks last year and listened to all this live stuff, and some of it I didn't even remember certain songs that we did. It went so far back. And the next thing I know, I'm thinking, you know, I might have a live CD here. And I've got songs on there that people may never have heard us do. Plus, I've got the so-called hits on there also, the fan favorites and the songs that have been selling very well for me over the years.
Yeah,
and it's just like you, it's the four pieces just like you hear on stage.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of it. I think it turned out pretty well.
I think it holds up really well in the way you're describing it, that now that I know these things were sent to you, okay, they were probably off a live board, but it wasn't like you were in a studio, you know, tweaking everything and making that pop, bring this up or bring this up. So people are, venues or promoters are giving you CDs, as I understand what you're saying. And so you never know the quality, and you probably had to listen to a lot of them to get something that you would want to use again to put on an album like this.
Yeah, I listened to a ton of them. My wife, Dreamer, was starting to worry about me. What are you doing in there so long? And I listened to everything, and you know, something would start, and I'm thinking, boy, this sounds good. And then I would forget a word or something, or somebody would mess up something, you know, a bad break or banjo mandolin break or something. So I just went on to the next song. But I ended up, these are all live right off of the board. Ben Surratt at the Rec Room in Nashville, here in Nashville at the studio. He mastered it or edited it and put it together for me, and then we had it mastered. And I'm pretty proud of it again. It turned out very well.
I think the whole thing holds up well. I think the sound is even. So what I mean by that is, you know, different live settings. And so what you've done is, and of course Ben would be a great guy to help you do that. Again, a mutual friend of ours, just one of the best sound engineers going. But so the sound to the listener, you'll hear other cuts before we're finished here. But the sound, it isn't down and up. The quality isn't, somebody's cassette recording. They're all good recordings. They've all been brought, I think, to the same even level, so that it's almost sounds like you're at a live show, which is great. But the sound quality is consistent throughout, even though they're done over 20-something years.
Yes. And the way I put the songs in order with Gene Shepherd from the Grand Ole Opry introducing us, and then we started out, it's almost like sitting and watching one of our shows. The way the songs are in order.
Oh yeah.
And then right at the very end of it, I said we're going to do one more, and we do this song, and then we come back for an encore, and then Gene Shepherd takes us out. I set it up like you're watching us at a show. The way I would program a show.
With
the way that CD set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with about 20 different band members.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming and going.
17 different musicians and 14 different 14. Musicians and 7 different venues.
So. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, did you go back and hear something that you, I guess we won't hear those, and that's fine. But aside from the recording quality, were you listening to these? And there's so many great tunes. We're going to talk about some of them. And a lot of them, like you say, are things that everybody's going to want to hear. And some things, like you said, could be so obscure, or the source may be so obscure people haven't heard them. But did you hear something where you thought, well, musically, maybe you mentioned that already, the quality's good, but maybe musically there was a mistake.
Yeah.
Could be you missed a note. We won't put it on just musicians, side people and people in the band. But did you have a chance to go back and find those particular songs on a different recording, or were some that were started out good and then sort of got bad, but you couldn't find them on another one of these 100-plus CDs?
Yeah, like the song Patches, which is a very requested song.
Oh, yeah.
The gospel song Yes, I See God was on just about every CD I had. So I had a lot of chances to pick from different versions of that, and I think I picked the best one we had, and that's something Ben and I did in the studio. We would listen to different versions of the songs, and there was a couple things that I can't remember right offhand that I thought, man, this would be good, but then there was a mess up in this particular cut.
Mm.
And it, you know, I'm not going to put something like that out, of course. And so, yeah, but it all kind of fell into place, and I found the best 13 I think I had.
You know, I remember you talking about being in the studio with Ben. I remember that I believe it was on Pine Castle, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a concert from Germany with the Osborne Brothers. And I think that Sonny and Ben sat in the recording studio, Sonny Osborne, and where they heard a mess up, they would fix it. They would take another cut from another thing and drop it in there. And
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound like that's something that you wanted to do here. And I know that Sonny and Ben took a long time to put that thing together. I sample it every once in a while because it is engineering wise. And they were on fire, which we'll talk about later, putting people on fire. But it sounds like you wanted to go with the best live versions, and you didn't go back and change a missed note or a timing issue.
Well, I really couldn't because it was directly from the board and there was no multi-tracks.
Oh, all right. Good point.
So there was no way I could do that.
So
nothing is fixed here. What you're hearing was done live that particular day or night at that festival or concert venue. There was no way of fixing anything.
And I personally like that. I like the fact that I don't think that musicians are or should be expected to be robots. I think if there's mm-hmm. something that's not absolutely perfect, that's okay, because that's what live music is about. It makes it unique. It's
that's
something
right.
that you're not going to hear again and not going to hear before
that's
that.
That's right.
I mean, to me, and that's the warmth of the whole thing. Is like, yeah, I'm seeing a live, in my mind, I'm seeing a live show.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly
well,
right.
Well, you mentioned Patches. How many times have you played Patches over
oh
the years?
Oh, my gosh.
It must be your Rocky Top. It's got to be your Rocky Top.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable what a good song that's been for us. And it's an old soft rock and roll song out of the early 60s, and which I first heard Cliff Waldron, a bluegrass singer from the Washington, D.C. area in the 70s, sing it. I didn't even know where it came from at the time, and as time went on, I learned it, you know, it was a rock and roll song, and it's been so good to us. It's just a great song, and I'm really grateful for it.
You have, as I look down at my notes, I'm going to say four or five what I would call gospel or religious-oriented tunes, and they're things that I think Larry Stevenson is known for doing. Rock of Ages, God Will, Yes, I See God, and I have another note down here, too. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but we'll say three or four of those tunes that people would expect. And if you ever see Larry or hear any of Larry Stevenson's music on a CD, you're going to have a good percentage of that type of song. And I think you've done that well on this live to make sure you could put just the amount of those songs that are important to you that would be important to your listeners.
Absolutely. The song Yes, I See God, God Will is a tune that I wrote. It was on our Compass CD a number of years ago that came out on the Compass record label.
Mm-hmm.
And On the Wings of an Angel is another one that's
right
on there.
That's the other one. Yeah.
The song Yes, I See God is been absolutely the most requested thing
that's
I've ever done, right next to Patches. And
yeah.
And I found a lot of great versions of that, and I was just really glad that I could include those songs on there
for
people to hear the live version.
Yeah, of the songs on here, and I do. Those are things I would expect you would be requested of. The audience would want to hear those things, whether they say it out loud or not. Of the ones on here that you think that perhaps a regular an audience or a fan of Larry Stevenson band music, which are the ones you think that maybe they've never heard before? Do we go back to the earliest one, or are there some in here that you're thinking maybe no one's heard on record?
Well, the very first song, The Countryside of Heaven, Where the Bluegrass Music Flows, would be one. We did that song a little bit when it first came out on the White House CD a number of years ago.
See, and I have that, so I hear that all the time. I have that.
Yeah.
And that's an album that you did with... was Missy on that? Who else was
Missy Raines, David Parmley, Jason Carter, and Charlie Cushman.
Charlie Cushman, that's right, because you all live close to
each
other. Yeah, I remember that. That's a great album. That is a great, solid
thumping
bluegrass. I bought that from you live somewhere, I remember. But
yeah.
Okay, that's how I know it then. To me, it's like I hear that all the time.
Yeah, so,
okay.
You know, and I was singing it for a while when the White House CD came out, and... kind of forgot about it. I mean, I put in one of those CDs one day, and there it was. And another one would be Rock of Ages. I was totally blown away when I heard that on a live show that I had in here.
Really?
Because I totally forgot we even did that. I bet we haven't done that more than two or three times over the years on stage.
Do you think...
It's just something we were messing around with, you know? Maybe like a sound check or something, and for some reason I just called it out that night, and we did it.
Do you think that going through this process, and if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Larry Stevenson, who I admit up front is a friend of mine, so I'm not trying to like sugarcoat that. Larry's a good friend of mine, and I like to have all those disclosures up front, and I just enjoy the heck out of Larry as a person, and I always enjoy talking to him, and haven't seen him since we all were locked in our cages, but we'll get together again, I promise you. Are there any songs on this album like that that you're thinking now we're going to put back into a live? I know you're out getting some concert work done. As a matter of fact, you're going to be leaving soon, I think, to hit some shows.
Yeah.
But are there songs now that you're thinking let's put this back into a live set currently?
Well, Rock of Ages and Countryside of Heaven. We're doing both of them. We're doing just about everything on that record.
Oh, that's good.
At different times. So, yeah, we've added them all in. Mm-hmm.
Tell me who your the band personnel changes throughout, of course, throughout this great collection. So if someone goes to see you, we're talking on a Monday, and I think you're heading out the rest of this week. Who's going to be traveling with you as the Larry Stevenson Band as if we're talking now? Tell me what the makeup is.
Well, I've got a banjo man named Derek Baden who's been with me about 3.5 years. And a guitar man is Nick Dauphiné, who's also been with me about 3.5 years. And I've got a new bass man, Andy Brown, who's been with us a couple of months. And just three great guys, great musicians, and they're all in right now, and we're having a really good time out here playing music these days.
And anyone that sees Larry play live or hears your music, you know those guys have to sing. I mean, they're going to be top-flight musicians, but need people that can add into that vocal sound because you have such a strong vocal.
They can do it.
Yeah, well, I assume they would or they wouldn't be with you, but I just wanted to give them credit for what they're doing. I know when Larry shows up, it's solid, top to bottom, sideways, upside down, everywhere you want. Everything you want in a good bluegrass band, it's there on stage. Let's go back then for a minute while we're chatting to the oldest song on the album, which is from 1999, Many Hills of Time. And that was actually done live. Was that the Station Inn recording?
No, this was done at the Thanksgiving Myrtle Beach South Carolina Bluegrass Festival.
That's right. The newest song on the album was done at Station Inn. We haven't got to that yet.
Done at Station Inn, that's correct.
Yeah, yeah, okay. We'll talk a little bit about that. Back to 1999, it's not that long ago, but it's the first and the oldest tune on this. So why'd you pick that up?
Yeah, when I first put my band together, I had a solo album out, and The Many Hills of Time was on that solo album, and it was written by Pete Goble and Leroy Drum, and it was at the beginning of my band in 1989. That was one of the first very popular songs that I had, and really kind of helped throughout radio and different places, helped kind of establish me, you know, as a band with the song Many Hills of Time. And we still do it today, and it's a really, really good song, and I've got it recorded, you know, studio version, and now I've got a live version.
Yeah. Let's since we've led into that with that great introduction from Larry Stevenson, my guest today, let's play that 1999 version on this retrospective LSB live you're going to hear now from 1999. The very tune he was just talking about, Many Hills of Time, and then we'll come right back. I'm not finished with Larry yet, so the audience will listen to that. Larry and I will come back in just a second. Well, that was it. That's the oldest song on this collection, and Larry, you gave a great intro into it as to why it's on here. It's a fascinating discussion as to how you arrived at these of all of the dates that you've done. And as you mentioned, all of the CDs that were done from the board, from a venue, from a promoter, like you said, you probably hadn't listened to because why would you? I mean, unless it was a special thing is going to be released. But you, unbeknownst to you, people were recording stuff off of the soundboard, which is nice that they gave them to you. You just wonder sometimes what else they were doing with them. But you know, at least you got them. So that was it's a great collection. So you go from 1990. What I mentioned in error, I flipped my times on the newest song is from January of 2020. And that was done at Station Inn, right? That was Restless Blue Eye Lover. Yeah, that's a great one. I have a star by that one too.
Yeah.
You like you said, you made good use of the lockdown time. Do you feel like your schedule is opening up? I know you're going to be gone, and people are kind of really anxious to see you again. I know you're anxious to get out and perform because that's what you do. Do you feel like things are opening up as you're moving forward from this point?
Yeah, it seems like it is. We've been out actually a bunch this year. The Musicians Against Childhood Cancer Festival in Columbus, Ohio, a couple of weeks ago, and we were in Milan, Michigan here just recently, and like you say, we're heading up to Virginia this week, and so things are opening up, and the crowds are great. People are excited, and it's really, really good, and. I just hope it continues that way.
I see you on social media. It looks like you're having a good time and all that pent-up energy, and I think that the fans have to be just ecstatic that they get to do what they love, and you get to do what you love, and you get to share that experience live. And I just think it's great. I hope we all stay safe and get out and everything gets back up to full speed.
Yeah, and it seems like people are behaving, and, you know, you'll see some masks. You won't see masks, and everybody's doing their part and – and enjoying, you know, the music and the festival and or the concert, and everything seems to be pretty good right at the moment.
On the album, one of my favorite tunes, and it's just one of those melodies that, and the way the tempo is, and the South of the Border kind of a tune. You have on here a live version of the Seashore of Old Mexico, which is just, for whatever reason, is one of my favorite tunes that you do.
Yeah, we did a studio cut of that a number of years ago for Compass Records here in Nashville. And I don't know, I kind of felt it didn't get the attention that I would have liked it to have. It's one of my favorite songs to sing.
I play it a lot. I play it a lot.
Do you?
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of my favorites to sing and play on stage. We do it about every show, and I found a good cut of that, so we included it on this new record.
You know,
it would be a little bit more attentive.
Yeah, the words, the rhyming of the rhyme scheme of the words as you go through a part where everything kind of, you think it's not going to make it back again. It's not Spanish, but you know, it has that feel to it. Like, and you're adding in all those names and all those things, and I just, and the tempo, I just think is so. As opposed to the Blues Don't Care Who's Got 'Em, which is, you know, a totally different tempo. The Seashores of Mexico, to me, is just one of those. It makes you want to. I like it. I like it. I play it a lot.
Well, it was written by Merle Haggard, so you can't go wrong.
Got to be pretty good.
You're doing all right.
Yeah. I want to get one more minute out of you, and I want you to. And there's so many songs we can talk about on here. We've hit most of them, if not a glancing blow. Directly on, we kind of get the fact that these are songs that mostly people would be familiar with, some not so much, as you've mentioned. But there's one song on here, Larry, that set your world on fire. I love this song. I want you to lead up to that because I listen to that and I think, yeah, that's, and I think it's probably mostly a true story. But tell us about that song. We'll talk a little bit about Sonny and Bobby and their import. Is you can't measure it, but that song in particular, it's the next to the last cut, the sound that set my soul on fire. Talk a little bit about that. It's a great version.
Yeah, that's the song that kind of closes out the live CD, and it's a song that we've over the years have closed shows out with, and it's my nod to the great Osborne brothers, Bobby and Sonny. It kind of tells the story of the song Rocky Top kind of lighting my fire and kind of, you know, I say if it wasn't for the Osborne brothers or the song Rocky Top, I probably wouldn't have, you know, had a band for 35 years and been in the business almost 45 years, because when I was about 12 years old, I heard that song and it just, it was like, whoa, what is that? And I went out and bought everything I could from them and just love their music, and ended up singing high once my voice changed as a kid, you know, and so all that kind of fit. But Sonny Osborne had written the liner notes for a CD we did on the old Pinecastle label back in the mid '90s. I can't remember which CD it was. It's been out of print, but Sonny in the liner notes made the comment that he and his brother were the sound that set my soul on fire. So I have to give Sonny credit for the title.
Well, you know, he'll take it.
And yeah, absolutely. And I'll give it to him. But I don't know. I was driving one day and I got to thinking about all that. And I remember I pulled over to the side of the road and found something to write on, and I wrote the song. I mean, it just kind of wrote. And then we recorded it. Sonny produced the record that it was on. We called the album On Fire, and that song was on there, and it's I'm proud of it. I don't consider myself much a songwriter, but I have written a number of songs, and it just kind of tells the story about me here in Rocky Top and my nod to the Osborne brothers.
You're not, I sure love it. You know, we've talked about this before. We don't talk about it so much in front of Sonny because he won't put up with that much of adoration. He just doesn't. He's just a regular guy when you know him. But you and I have talked about this before, that I don't know when it's all said and done that they won't be the most influential bluegrass band in history. I understand the father of bluegrass. I understand Flat and Scruggs. But the length of time and the changes they went through, and like what you do with the membership of your band, their sound, they changed a little bit as they went through and added some things now that were revolutionary then that are now like part of the business. But I sometimes, I objectively, my friendship aside, I objectively sit back and I look at the volume of their work. So I'm so glad you did this. I don't mean to talk about the Osmond Brothers, but your song. But I almost think that they might, when it's all said and done, be, if not the most influential, if they're not one, they're 1A.
I'm not going to argue with you on that. You're the lawyer here. I wouldn't argue with the lawyer. But I totally agree. You know, I was listening to my mom and daddy had Bill Monroe Records and Roy Acuff and Mac Wiseman and things like that in our house, and this guy played Rocky Top for us one day. And it was just a different, modern, at the time, you know, I'm talking 1968.
Yeah.
So it was just a different sound that I hadn't heard Mac Wiseman or Jim and Jesse or anybody do.
Yep.
And it was, you know, I compare it to, you know, a lot of these younger folks these days, you know, they hear Alison Krauss, and that set their world on fire.
That's true.
And then maybe they go back and start listening to the Osmond Brothers and me and Third Time Out and the Lonesome River Band.
I think they will, and I think they are. I think the ones that I talk to, they get it. Once they get hooked in, then they start going back and they realize, and you and all those bands you've mentioned, those sounds are still there, and they're there to build on, to incorporate.
Yeah, but I couldn't get enough of them. I remember we had this great record store there in Fredericksburg, Virginia, close to where I grew up, and they had everything. I'd go over every Saturday and buy all their records, which I still have. Hmm. And they played in my area live a lot back in that day, up in Virginia and Washington, D.C. area. So I got to see the Osmond Brothers live many times, and it was just the best, just so good. And I'm honored now that I'm friends with them to this day and still associate with them and get to play the Grand Ole Opry every now and then, play the guitar with Bobby Osborne.
Yeah.
And they're just great guys and their music. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
They probably are the most influential that's ever been.
I think over time, over time, for the time span, for golly, how many years? How many years were they just... And your song, then, to me, from that respect, and I kind of asked you before we went on the air for what song we can leave with, and we both kind of agreed that that would be the song to say goodbye to you and end your time here and then segue into the sound that set my soul on fire, and I think we both knew that was going to happen. So I'm just thrilled that you got it on there, and the story is still good. I've heard you talk about it before, but I just miss you, man. I want to hear you talk about more stuff.
Well, it's great to hear from you. Thanks for having me on your great show. And we'll get together soon.
We will.
It's not over with yet.
It isn't. And when next time I wander down that way, I'll let you know in time ahead of time. And we'll find somewhere to sit. And so this is it, then. Talking to Larry Stevenson, the label is, make sure everybody knows the label and where they can get this.
It's on our label, Whisper Dream Music, and you can go to my website, LarryStevensonBand.com, and that's Stevenson with a PH, and we've got the retrospective LSB Live on there along with all of our other recordings and all of our tour dates, and we'll get it right out to you. I've got a stack of addresses laying here waiting
just
to
wait,
send it
just
out.
Just waiting, all right.
As soon as I get my physical copy, so that's what we do.
All right. Larry, I love you like a brother. We're going to leave the show then with that song, the sound that, and parenthetically, that set my soul on fire. And I'll see you again. I promise we'll sit and chat.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
All
my
right.
pleasure.
All right. See you, bud.